Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you'll enjoy this message by Pastor Joey Bonifacio.
As you know, we've been journeying through a series of messages on wisdom. It's only fitting that when you talk about wisdom, as we said last week, to number our days. I want to give you a brief review of where we've been since the beginning of the year. At the beginning of January, Pastor Joshua Harris gave us a message about making sure we know where we're going. And he took it out of his namesake, the book of Joshua. We follow that up with a message on zeal, the determined, diligent, enthusiastic pursuit of God and his kingdom. And we gave four messages, beginning with a message from Rahab, titled Last Woman Standing. We follow that up with a message on Gideon, entitled Is This the One? Third, we had a message on David, how to rise above the valley of disruptions. And we ended that month with a message from Elijah, entitled How to Shatterproof 2021. We also said that zeal without wisdom was dangerous. And that's why we gave you a series of messages on wisdom, beginning with Pastor Mark Chu at the beginning of February, entitled God of the New in Light of Chinese New Year. I talked to you about why, the question everyone is asking from the book of Job. And we follow that up with a message from the book of Proverbs entitled Extraordinary Wisdom for Extraordinary Times. We landed and ended the month of February with a message entitled The Wisdom Anchored Life. Zeal is the determined, diligent, enthusiastic pursuit of God and His kingdom. And if we're to be wise, the wisest thing we can do is figure out what does His kingdom actually mean? Which brings me to a series of messages for the month of March. And beginning in Mark chapter 1 verse 14, after John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. Notice what he says. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. This was literally the first message Jesus ever preached. He said, the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. The first message deserves to be the first message because first things must come first. The title of this series or this particular message. First means chronology. It comes first because of significance, more importantly, because of its importance. Long before Europeans ever came to Asia or our part of the world, kingdoms have existed. The kingdom of Thailand, the kingdom of Korea, the kingdoms of Japan, the kingdoms of India, and more importantly, the kingdoms of China and even the Middle East. We find this also true with the Europeans. Why are there so many palaces and castles and kingdoms? And why are there so many kings? Because from the very dawn of civilization, kingdoms and kings were necessary for governance. We find that in the story in the Bible of Nimrod, of Babylon, of Egypt, and even Jericho, and so on and so forth. How do you define the importance of kingdoms? Domains. Dominion, empire, territory governed under a sovereign, under a government, under a people that governs you, at the vast domains of Russia. And these are the whole point of what kingdoms are about. Domains. Possession of estate, a portion of king's domains. You might be telling yourself right now, what in the world are you talking about, Pastor? These are long gone ancient thoughts and ideas. Well, the truth of the matter is it isn't, except that today they kind of look like this. Domains are no different from they were before, whether that be called .coms or .orgs or .nets or .biz. The whole point of domains is to influence you, not just to influence you, to have power over you, at some level to control you and have authority over you. Domains are all about dominion. Dominion is the supreme or sovereign or supreme authority. The power of governing and controlling. Notice the words governing and controlling. At some level, that's good for you. But at some level, it's dangerous. The power to direct, control, use, and dispose of at pleasure, right of possession, and use without being accountable as the private dominion of individuals. From the very beginning of the Bible, the story about dominion and power over others is very real. Story of two brothers is the opening sections of the book of Genesis when somebody wants to put one over the other. And that's why it's important for us to understand The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. The kingdom of God is often regarded as a building with religious activities or a church. Big mistake. The kingdom of God is far from a building that has people that are singing to God or praying or singing hymns or talking about the Bible. Psalms 103 verse 19 tells us exactly what the kingdom of God. The Lord has established his throne in heaven and his kingdom rules over all. God's kingdom is beyond the four walls of a church or a building, but is in dominion and authority over all of creation. The kingdom of God is very different. Jesus puts it this way. He said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders." This was in reference to a conversation with Pilate, the ruler of the land of Palestine at the time, and he was being framed by the Pharisees. Jesus says, and his declaration was, here's the difference between the kingdoms of this world and my kingdom. My kingdom is not of this world. It is a different kind of kingdom. It's interesting that this conversation happened inside the palace, where you have Pilate, the governor of the land, and the Pharisees. And they were accusing Jesus. And in that conversation, it's funny how in John chapter 19, verse 9, Pilate goes back inside the palace and he asks him, "Where do you come from?" He asked Jesus, but Jesus gave him no answer. "Do you refuse to speak to me?" Pilate said. And watch this. "Don't you realize I have power either to free you or to crucify you?" Dominion. It's interesting how when you read the Bible, it actually talks about this idea of dominion and power over others. And Pilate declaring over Jesus, "I have the power to kill you or to free you." I love what Jesus' response was in verse 11. He answered, "You would have no power over me if it were not given to you from above." Interesting answer. He goes on to say, "Therefore, the one who handed me over to you is guilty of a greater sin." Jesus was not saying, "Pilate, you're not guilty of anything." He was saying, "The guys that manipulated you to do this, the Pharisees, are more guilty." The Pharisees were operating in fear. They were losing their own dominion, their own kingdom over the Jews. Because of that fear, they wanted greater control over the people because of greed and all the anger and manipulation that they did to Pilate. And the result is they wanted to murder Jesus. It's interesting, isn't it? That when we step into the backdrop of the reality of the kingdoms of this world, it's the invisible fear, control, greed, and anger that results in the physical action of murder. Watch what happens next in verse 12. From then on, Pilate tried to set Jesus free. He had no idea that he was now under the power of the Pharisees, even though he knew he needed to set Jesus free. But the Jewish leaders kept shouting, "If you let this man go, you are no friend of Caesar's. Anyone who claims to be a king opposes Caesar." Basically, what they were telling him was, "You are under not just our dominion, but a greater dominion over others." Here's the point. The kingdoms of this world are corrupt, they're broken, they're clueless of what's happening. And that's why Jesus said, "It is not of this world." The kingdom of God is not of this world was Jesus' first proclamation. It is a very different kind of kingdom. The picture of this kingdom is found in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. It says, "For to us, a child is born. To us, a son is given, and the government, the kingdom, will be on his shoulders." It goes on to say, "And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Notice that the kingdom of God, or the government, or dominion of God, begins with the words Wonderful Counselor. And that's why we tackled the last few weeks on wisdom. That's what Wonderful Counsel is. Wisdom far beyond normal human understanding and limitations. The wisdom toward day-to-day operations of our life spiritually, relationally, physically, and at some measure even financially. Some people don't realize that my job as a pastor requires this kind of wisdom. I deal with spiritual situations, relational situations, marriage, children, physical health, and financial situations. What's interesting is this wisdom is not limited to grandiose things like these, but include day-to-day things. I was reading one of my son's wisdom moments in a casual thing that he posted in our chat group. He says, bad things happen today, good things that happen today. And he begins to explain, car overheated on the way to work. I wasn't on the expressway. That's the good thing. The good thing was while the car overheated and got stuck, he wasn't on the expressway. He goes on to say, I was stuck in the provincial side of the road in blistering heat. My schedule was messed up. My excellent office mates covered up for me. Then he goes on to say, the repairs will take more than a day. I was able to borrow a shuttle van. The van doesn't have air conditioning. I have to drive with the windows down. I don't have hair to get messy with the wind. He's bald-headed. But finally, he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. There's wisdom not just for grandiose big plans, but even for the smallest details of our life, if we will put ourselves under the dominion of the King of the universe. Further, it says, Mighty God. Words of wonderful counselor is useless without the mighty power of God at work in our lives in day-to-day realities in His kingdom. Notice where it says the mighty God works in our spiritual, relational, our physical, and even our financial realities. I love this situation about, I have a story about this man whom I met, that got together with in November 2019. And we got to pray for each other because he had lost his job and for a good year, over a year, couldn't find one. And then finally, in August 2020, after much prayer, he called me and said, you know, I just got me a job. But the funny thing about the job was it was a pandemic year. More than that, he was unemployed for a year and didn't know where to start. And he was now the chief operating officer of the U company. The company was in complete disarray when he arrived there. Staff would all leave within 6 months except for one person. Interesting situation. And here you need the power of God. Now, in February of 2020, last month, I talked to him about how the business was going. He said the company's firing on all cylinders, on track to break profitability for the first time in 2021. Over 50% of the full year of 2021 target already achieved as of early February. None of this is possible without God. Almost every position vacated was filled within days by the exact, absolutely perfect fit person and just happened to be looking for a new opportunity. This new team is what's behind the record-breaking results of today. Finally, he said, it's prayer. It's the power of God, which is inexplicable, that has allowed these things to happen. When we understand that the kingdom of God is His wonderful counsel and mighty God, and thirdly, about the everlasting Father. This is what government is. If you want to understand government, the best picture of it is a car. When you get into a car, you'll find certain things. A steering wheel, which directs you. That's what government is, to direct you. Number two is to regulate. That's what a regulator is, to use the right use of resources properly without running out of gasoline. Third is to control, whether you have to move forward, sideways, or literally turn back. And fourthly, to restrain or to step on the brake and stop because you're headed in the wrong direction. This is government at its most basic truth: direct, regulate, control, and restrain. And this is what the government of God looks like. Direct, regulate, control, and restrain you in your hearts. Not externally, not through power, but to put it in your heart so that you can personally govern yourself or direct yourself, regulate, control, and restrain using His wonderful counsel, using His mighty power, and more importantly, driven by His love. The motivation of God's kingdom is what separates it from all other kingdoms of this world. When we have the government of God in our very hearts, then we will govern our families properly. We will govern our spheres of influences, whether that be civil government, business, church, or whatever. Society, and ultimately, the world will be impacted by the government of God. This is the government of God, which is why Isaiah declares in Isaiah 33, verse 22, for the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, the Lord is our king. Notice those three words, our judge, our lawgiver, and our king. The idea of God's government is that He's all of those, which is why in modern day governments, you want to separate the lawmaker, the judge, and the executioner, because no one deserves all that power. The wisdom of God's government is summarized in the words, Prince of Peace, Jesus. He's the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, and the bringer of the motive of the everlasting love of a father. This is why the kingdom of God is not of this world and a very different kingdom that deserves or is worthy of first importance. In the book of Matthew, chapter 6, verse 33, Jesus said, "Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." The idea is to seek God first in his kingdom and his righteousness, because when we do that, everything we need, we will find as provided for us by him. Notice it says all these things, the spiritual, the relational, the physical, and even the financial. Now, secondly, Jesus said in his short message, the kingdom of God has come near. I love this part. It is not distant. It is not out of reach. It is not exclusive. It is right there for the taking. Luke chapter 17, verse 20, once on being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, the kingdom of God is not something that can be observed, he said. In fact, nor will people say, here it is or there it is, because the kingdom of God is in your midst. The point is, the kingdom of God is not a territory or domain, but is a person. And that's why he came, to demonstrate his love. This is literally the first picture I've ever taken of a selfie. You got to understand, I'm 64 years old this year. And it was very hard for me to actually take a selfie because growing up, we were not used to taking pictures of ourselves. I took this picture, but in memory of this picture with my dog, I'm reminded of a story once walking with a dog that I had. And I remember thinking this and God asking me how much I loved him. And he said, would you be willing to show this dog how much you love him the way I showed you how much I loved you? Would you be willing to become a dog so that you can show him what it's like to be a human? God became a human being from being a God so that you and I can learn how his love, his wisdom, his kindness, and all the power that he has. The answer to his question, would I be willing to be a dog to show the dog my love for him? The answer is never, ever. Because that love is reserved for the one and only King of the universe. He has come to demonstrate his love. More than just demonstrating his love, he came and he lived to show me how it works. Here in Matthew chapter 16, verse 15, it says, but what about you, he asked. Who do you say I am, speaking to his disciples? Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but my Father in heaven. By the way, remember this verse right here. You cannot understand the kingdom of God apart from God, the Holy Spirit, revealing it to you. Then it goes on to say, I will give you the keys of the kingdom. Now, don't forget this verse because this is important. What this simply means is when you enter the kingdom of God, when you get to the kingdom where Jesus becomes the king of your life, he gives you access, full access to heaven, regardless of whether you're on earth. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Jesus demonstrated for us not only his love, but how to literally live as if we were in heaven on earth. To believe that every single day we enter his kingdom, we see the power of God on earth as it is in heaven. Finally, he died so I can enjoy the kingdom forever. There's a good story in the Bible about the death of Jesus. And one of the people crucified beside him said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. There it is. Somebody had a revelation that the kingdom was not of this earth, but an eternal kingdom. Jesus answered him, truly I tell you today, you will be with me in paradise. Jesus' kingdom has come near. He came to demonstrate his love. He lived to show me how it works, and he died so I can enjoy the kingdom forever. And finally, repent and believe the good news. The final point of this three-point message of Jesus. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. The first point is repent. In other words, it is a choice. Many times when you hear the word repent, you sound religious and you think it's a religious term. Repentance is actually making a choice between a broken world. Our world is broken. It's corrupt. It has issues, it's unrighteous, it has moral deprivation, it's broken physically, morally, spiritually, it's broken in different places. And when we understand this reality, then the point is, make a choice. Our choices are real. Our lives are defined by the choices we make, past, present, and future. The key is to make those choices daily to enter the kingdom of God. This was the short message that Jesus brought us. Repent and believe the good news. It's a choice. To enter the kingdom of God in prayer and His word is a daily choice that will make a difference in the future of our lives. Secondly, believe. It's one thing to make a choice. It's another thing to believe. What am I supposed to believe? You're probably asking. The kingdom of God is near. That at one time, Jesus Himself came to earth to show me how this kingdom works. Every time I believe that on a daily basis, I have the choice and the ability to enter the invisible kingdom of God. And why do I want to do that? Because of the good news. The good news of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is not just something I choose to enter into every day. I choose to believe it is the good news. And what exactly is that good news? I've been forgiven. I have access to the kingdom of God because Jesus died for me. My sins are forgiven. I've been justified. I'm not just justified, I'm saved. I'm in the sonship. I'm a child of the King. I am in righteousness, walking in the righteousness of God. I will prosper. I will have healing. I will have eternal life and a whole lot more. This was the initial message. If we're to have zeal, it is seeking this wisdom. Why? It is not of this world. It is a very different kingdom. There's nothing like it. And it's still worthy of first importance. Why? Because He came to demonstrate His love. Because He lived to show me how it works. And He died so I can enjoy the kingdom forever. How? Repent. Make a choice to enter the kingdom every day. How? By believing. What? The good news. The good news that all that God has to offer me in this world and beyond has been brought to me in Jesus. I want to end this moment of meditating on the word by proclaiming who Jesus is. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, grab your cup and your bread and proclaim this with me. Lord Jesus, You are the good news of the kingdom of heaven. This day, as in every day of our lives, we choose to proclaim that You are the King of our lives. In You is a kingdom that is not of this world, a very different kingdom. A kingdom filled with wonderful counsel, mighty power, and the everlasting love of the Father. Thank You for coming, living and dying for us so that we may enjoy Your eternal kingdom here, now, and forevermore. Teach us to make a daily choice to repent and head in the direction of Your kingdom, and to believe the good news that Your kingdom is near and accessible daily. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Thank you for listening to the Every Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you've been blessed by today's message. For more information, visit everynation.org.sg.